He's Jalen Rose. I'm David Jacoby. We are Jalen and Jacoby. What is it that we do?
What up,
though?
Give the people what they want.
Jalen, the Nuggets forced a Game 7 against the Clippers. Lamar Jackson looked great. Russell Wilson looked great. Aaron Rodgers looked great. But we start with a quarterback that did not, and that is Tom Brady in his new uniform playing for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He struggled through two interceptions in a loss to the Saints. Do you think this is just some growing pains and they'll get on the same page, or do you expect them to continue to struggle as this year goes on?
Well, Tom Brady didn't necessarily just struggle. He looked old, and that's what happens. It reminded me of being the dude at the park and you come show up and everybody know you got game and they already played a couple of games and you get out there, your game ain't the same. You're like, hold up, I got to stretch. Y'all got to give me a second to warm up. And then when you get back out there, you're a lot better. That's what I saw from Brady. He was looking like a Jameis Winston 2.0, three touchdowns, two picks, one pick six. That is not Tom Brady. They will continue to improve offensively, but I was disappointed in game one, just like everybody else.
Yeah, he didn't look great. I didn't see Rob Gronkowski impacting the game whatsoever, but I do want to tip my hat to the Saints and Drew Brees and Alvin Kamara, who just score and score and score, and their defense showed up as well. Do you think the Saints are one of your favorites in the NFC?
Definitely they are, but you know what I like even more? Alvin Kamara's grill. You know, he got diamond out. You know, you got to make sure you get that fat new deal. They used him like they were going to use him a lot last year, I think, but they got so pass happy. And for him to play the way he played, and I love that fake at the end of the game, that's how you needle your opponents in your division.
Jalen, late at night, after watching 10 straight hours of football, there was a critical call at the end of the Rams-Cowboys game. Everyone's talking about it today. It is the offensive pass interference call on Gallup and on Jalen Ramsey. Jalen Ramsey, in my mind, sold it. I would not have made the call. What did you think about this OPI call from the ref?
I think I need to make a call to tell my mother how much I love her, because watching football these past couple of weekends, try drinking a shot or any of your favorite beverages when you hear the word Jalen. They're involved in every play and everything that happens over the weekend, including this play. And for those who watch a lot of football like us, this happened to the Bengals and A.J. Green late. Sometimes they would call that on the offensive player. Sometimes they don't. So when they do call it, I am surprised because they don't always call it. But by the rule, it is pass interference.
Technically, by the rule, it is pass interference, but when you watch it live action, not slow-mo from the game angle, it did not look like anything abnormal whatsoever. I was pretty shocked they called it. Even when you watch the replay, I certainly think that Ramsey sold it a little bit, and that obviously helps get the call. But I'm glad you brought up the A.J. Green call as well, because I wouldn't have called that one either. We'll talk about the Bengals later. But I also think that it's important that we recognize the big decision from McCarthy to go for it on fourth and three when he could have kicked a field goal to tie the game. What do you think about that decision and that play?
See, here's what happens. So you're a championship coach. You get hired by the Cowboys, and you got all of these offensive weapons. You got Zeke in the backfield. They take CeeDee Lamb in the first round. You want to get these guys involved. Dak just got his franchise tender signed. Amari got his deal signed. And so all of a sudden, you want to rush greatness. You want to show them that you believe in them. I don't have to tell you, Jacob, you got more kids than anybody. You can't rush the baby. I know they say 9 months, but sometimes it's going to happen in 4 months. Sometimes it's going to be on time. And that's what he was trying to do. You must kick the field goal. You only got 17 points. Okay. So you need to get points and then hope your defense can now get a stop. And then you try for your touchdown drive.
Yeah. I really feel like this was McCarthy trying to make a statement. McCarthy trying to set the tone. It's a new day in Dallas, and he did the unconventional thing. Well, sometimes it's unconventional because it's dumb. And I did feel like this was just a bad decision of McCarthy trying to set the tone. What are you trying to say, Mr. Rose? Why are you stopping
It's me? Not unconventional nowadays because he said he did it because of the analytics.
Analytics. You know, I knew you were going to say
that. You already know that my head exploded when I heard that, and it goes back to everything I've been saying. Those should be a tool, not the toolbox.
It's time for Soft Move or Boss Move. Jalen, one of the biggest revelations from the Cowboys-Rams game wasn't the play on the field. It was the tattoo on the stomach of Ezekiel Elliott. He's famous for his celebration, his Feed Me celebration after long runs. But take a look at this tattoo. Huge tattoo on his stomach that says Feed Me with a spoon next to it. Jalen, soft move or boss move, Ezekiel Elliott's Feed Me tattoo.
I think it's a boss move because that's actually how he eats. You know what I'm saying? Playing football, getting multiple carries, getting millions of dollars to tote the rock, it does make sense. And I know for a lot of people, it's like, if I look like that, yeah, I would have my abs out as well. But I will also acknowledge, Zeke makes sure we looking at his stomach. He makes sure when he come out of the house, we looking at his stomach.
Ever since college. I'm going to say soft move on this one because retired athletes go one of two ways. They either stay in shape and get skinny or they get big. And Zeke got that look like he's going to get big. So this is just going to be a big blotch on his big belly when he's in his 50s. You got to think long term, young man. You got to think long term. Back to the action on the field. Tom Brady obviously played for the Buccaneers, and it was Cam Newton. Say it, Jalen. Say it, Jalen.
Cam Newton
for the Patriots looked like a very different quarterback under center for that team. He ran and he ran. He ran for touchdowns. He looked good. He ran 19 times or 15 times, only 19 passing attempts, 75 yards and 2 touchdowns. Do you think this is the blueprint for success for Cam and the Patriots for this season?
I think it's the blueprint for this season, keeping his pass attempts down, their rush attempts high, their defense fresh to make plays in a division that they've owned for 2 decades. Even if they don't win a division and a team like Buffalo jumps up and takes the division, I still believe they get into the playoffs. And if they do win a division and get into the playoffs with this style, they will have a chance to win a game or two. But I don't believe with this team, that style, those weapons, they even get near the AFC Championship, not a Super Bowl contending team. And I feel like they're using Cam like hustle money. I felt like if this was long term and they felt like that they were going to invest in Cam, they wouldn't be playing like this. But this is why I say he's only going to be there 1 year. They like run it 15 times, run it 35 times, Cam, between the tackles, Josh McDaniels fist pumping and all of that. But at the end of the year, when Cam go back to renegotiate, they can be like, you took a lot of hits, dog. You took a lot of hits, dog. But it was great to see Cam back out there playing football, scoring touchdowns.
Cam looked happy. McDaniels looked happy. Belichick looked happy. But you make a good point. If Cam signed a 4-year deal with the Patriots, would they run him 15 times? Would they? I don't think so. I really don't think so. This seems like a 1-year experiment for McDaniels and Belichick to have some fun, get some wins, lose in the first round of the playoffs, and then look for a quarterback to replace him next year when he moves on. We will move on to something very interesting that was happening during the early games in the NFL. I was going back and forth between the NFL opening week slate and an NBA playoff game between the Clippers and the Nuggets. And in the first half, I said to myself, you know what? I can just watch football because this game's not even close. This is not going to be close. Denver had a great run, but now we get to finally see the Lakers and the Clippers in the – oh, wait. In the second half, Denver came storming back, led by Jokic, the stretch mark 5. Jalen, what did you see from Denver to force this game 7?
Jacoby, there's something that can take place in this game 7 that would force me to immediately need therapy. You want me to tell you what that is?
What's that?
My obsession for that man right there, Nikola Jokic, it's just not healthy. It can't be. I love his game so much. He's first team all NBA center for me the last 2 years. The best in the game. And it ain't even close. It's some other good ones. Embiid comes to mind. Jokic is that dude. This is their 4th game 7. They're trying to come back from 3-1. okay, for the second time in consecutive series. And when I look at the stat sheet in the regular season and in the playoffs, guess what I see? 30, 10, 5, balling, mid-range, off 1 foot. Like, if they beat the Clippers, I might need therapy.
You might need therapy. I do like that you mentioned his mid-range game, but something that's just a lost art in today's NBA. When they really need a bucket, Jokic will shoot a little one-legged 17-foot turnaround. And those three threes he hit in the fourth quarter were great shots that he sort of rimmed in, but he was wide open. After he just hit two threes in a row, you're going to leave him wide open again. And you know I love the Stretch Mark 5. Do you know why I love him? Because he looks like me with his shirt off. You know what? That's why I love him. It's just so relatable. He's so slow. He can't guard in the pick and roll at all, but he's just such a great offensive weapon that they keep him on the floor. Now, Jalen, I noticed something in this Clippers game that I never thought I would say. Ooh. Their second team, led by Lou Will and Montrezl Harrell, has been one of the strengths of this Clippers team throughout the entire season. But in this game, those two got picked on the other end. Montrezl Harrell couldn't even stay in the game because of the way that they were scoring on him so easily. And they were also just finding Lou Will and scoring on him as well. Jalen, do you think that these two that were so good all season long are an asset or a liability for the Clippers heading in to the pivotal Game 7?
In this series, a liability, and that's okay. Mm. This is where Kawhi and Paul George got to be spectacular and Morris got to be brilliant and other players got to pick it up for them. This is why you have to be able to play different styles in order to advance. And those long wings, Beasley and Craig and the defense of Harris, they're giving them problems. Let's see how those dudes perform in Game 7.
It's going to be a great one. What else is going to be great? Aaron Rodgers, Lamar Jackson, Russell Wilson picked up where they left off and played fantastically. We'll break that down and much more. Stay tuned. You're watching Jalen and Jacoby.
Jalen and Jacoby is brought to you by Dos Equis, a most interesting beer. Please enjoy responsibly. And Ram, built to serve.
Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. It's time for the segment where Jalen decides what we discuss. It's called Keep
Woo,
It Moving.
Tang! Woo! Tang!
Jalen, if you want to discuss the topic, say hit the brakes. If not, me, you, and Method Man jump in the minivan and keep it moving. And we start with the Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers with a great performance over the Vikings. Keep moving or hit the brakes.
I know you saw Method Man in the new Power Book of Ghosts. Hit the brakes.
Jalen, 4 touchdowns, 364 yards for the Packers. What sort of a statement did this game make for the NFC?
As somebody that roots for a team in his division and have seen their team always have a great quarterback, remember, I was not somebody that got upset that they took a quarterback in the first round, because since Aaron Rodgers has been there, they have never taken a wide receiver in the first round. So I wasn't surprised. They continue to build out their roster so their squad has balance. And now you see Adams catching 2 touchdowns. You see Jones getting a touchdown. And Aaron Rodgers looks like an elite quarterback that can play balanced football against a great defense in the Vikings.
Maybe just drafting Jordan Love was just what Aaron Rodgers needed. Maybe just that little motivation to put a little chip on his shoulder to make him look that good. And one thing that this did expose outside of how good Aaron Rodgers is the Vikings secondary. They are in trouble. But we move on. Lamar Jackson and
hit the
Ravens absolutely dominating. He didn't even have to play in the fourth quarter against the lowly Browns. Jalen, I have Chiefs-Ravens on a collision course in the AFC Championship game. This did not convince me otherwise. What did you see from this game?
I'll get to the Ravens in a second because you know I love their D-backs and how physical they are. And I saw Dobbins get 2 touchdowns. I saw Andrews. And they're going to be flying high. But let me talk about the Browns, who play like crap yesterday. I got 2 words for Baker Mayfield. On the field, I'm not talking about off the field. On the field, Johnny Manziel. I never thought I'd live in a world where Baker Mayfield wow. was getting more commercials than Odell Beckham Jr. Hey, dog. Wow. Let me tell you something. He's played 17 games with their team. In 15 of those games, Odell Beckham didn't get 100 yards receiving. It's getting ugly in Cleveland.
You know Odell Beckham hasn't showed it yet, but you know on the inside he is very upset, and that is something that we will keep an eye on because I don't see this Browns team turning it around anytime soon. Moving on to a team that seemed to have turned it around the last couple seasons, and that is the Arizona Cardinals, who got a win over the Super Bowl team, the 49ers. Jalen, Kyler Murray, and DeAndre Hopkins, the future in Arizona.
Absolutely. So anybody that follows Jalen and Jacoby know that Jalen got a chance to spend time with their head coach, Kingsbury, in the offseason. DeAndre Hopkins, friend of the show, he'll be back on again and again. And we told you guys, Kyler Murray was just bubbling last year, playing every game, getting better. And then all of a sudden, they line up against the 49ers who won the NFC last year. And D-Hop catches 14 footballs against them. And it should have been a second touchdown if they didn't stop him on the one. This is great progress for a Cardinals team when you could beat a squad like that in the opening week.
And Kyler Murray didn't just do it throwing the ball to DeAndre Hopkins. He had a great touchdown run that was really impressive that showed some of the running skills that he had at Oklahoma. Murray, Hopkins, Kingsbury is a trident of offensive brains and bodies that I look forward to watching for years to come in Cardinals uniform. But Jalen, the old stalwart, just like Aaron Rodgers, is always going to be there in the NFC. In the Cardinals division, that is Russell Wilson and the Seahawks.
Oh, yeah, hit the brakes.
Hit the brakes on them. Again, another over 300 yards, 4-touchdown performance. This time it was Wilson. What did you see from the Seahawks?
For the Falcons, it was good to see really hit his head on the goalpost a couple of times in the end zone. But for the Seahawks, Russell Wilson is just so very good, man. Mm-hmm. It's almost like if you were talking about who the best rushing quarterbacks, Russell Wilson. Best with the deep ball, Russell Wilson. Best decision-making, Russell Wilson. Best on short yardage, Russell Wilson. Third down, situational football, Russell. And then all of a sudden, Carson has become a three-down bell cow type of back. You could throw it to him. You could run between the tackles. He had 2 touchdowns. He's such an underrated running back when you start talking about the best in the game.
He really is. Carson was great out of the backfield catching passes. I think you'll see a lot more from that from him, which is something you haven't seen a lot from the Seahawks. Great performance from the Seahawks. The NFC is just really has a lot of good teams in it, where the AFC, I see two good teams at the moment. Jalen, moving to NBA. Mike D'Antoni will not return as the head coach for the Rockets.
No surprise. No surprise. Keep it moving.
We keep it moving. We keep it moving.
Giannis Antetokounmpo did something that lit social media on fire this weekend.
He's
moving
not
to hit the brakes.
Leaving. Keep it moving for
we
now.
We keep it moving. We keep it moving.
In Chicago, we had a no-hitter
hit the brakes
from an unlikely source. Alec Mills, a man who walked onto his college baseball team, went in the 22nd round of the draft. I didn't know the draft had 22 rounds, and he threw a no-hitter for the Cubs. What a moment for him. What do you think of it?
I just wanted to carry a bat, talk about football as a former basketball player, and you give him props for getting a no-hitter because I believe that's what would happen if I tried to play Major League Baseball.
Jalen, we have to talk about it. What happened at the end of the Detroit Lions
game? Hit the brakes.
Okay.
Meow.
Jalen.
Meow.
Jalen.
Meow. Meow.
Matt Stafford drops back. Seconds left in the game. Throws a perfect pass to rookie running back DeAndre Swift. And let's just watch what happens. This could be a game. I really thought he caught it because we went behind the camera. Jalen, I have a theory. This is going to really impact DeAndre Swift's career moving forward. If he catches that, he's the hero. He feels great about himself. But now he spends every second of every day moving forward concerned about that drop of that pass. This is the most Lions thing to happen in such a long time. How do you feel? Is there one word that encapsulates how you feel as a Lions fan right now?
Meow. I mean, our big offseason move puts his head into the referee. They could have let him stay in the game, But when you put your helmet against an official, the rule says that they eject you. So he gets ejected. Then Mitchell Trubisky throws for 3 touchdowns in the fourth quarter. And our first round running back, after Adrian Peterson, the oldest running back in the league, was running well, finally gets it thrown into his bread basket out of the backfield, Jacoby, and he drops it. And you know how I put on for the Lions. You see former players that don't have Lion helmets hanging up. And it was just devastating. It was just really devastating.
We'll be back with much more. You're watching Jalen and Jacoby.
Jalen and Jacoby is brought to you by the Toasted S'mores Shake, only at Sonic. And Dos Equis, a most interesting beer. Please enjoy responsibly.
2 big games in the NBA on ESPN starting at 6:30. We have game 1 of the Eastern Conference Finals and then game 7. Between the Clippers and the Nuggets. That all starts at 6 p.m. on ESPN. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, watching all the football this weekend, what did you think about the way that the NFL players and coaches expressed themselves in the fight against social injustice?
A constant reminder that it's the business relationship. Whether the fans are booing when Kansas City and the Houston Texans are locking arms, or the same thing in this scenario. You guys want to pay to support and patronize our product? Cool. How much you going to pay us? All right, we'll get out there and play. But you're going to listen to what we have to say more than just how fast we run and how high we jump. So I appreciate the field position that has been garnered over the last 4 years. From when Colin first took a knee and the NFL ostracized him and whiteballed him out of the league, to the point where now players are doing it and the league itself isn't in an uproar. I appreciate the progress, but I laughed when I saw the end racism was outside the end zone. Come on now.
I could barely see it. Could barely see it. Highly Questionable is next. We'll be back tomorrow at 2 p.m. on ESPN. We always say we give the people what they want. Part of that is doing exclusive content for our podcast listeners. And we have a lot of it for you today because there's so much happening over the weekend that we couldn't get to in such a short TV show. I'm so glad we have this time to break it all down in more detail. Before we move on to some new topics, I want to talk about some of the topics we already discussed in the television program. I want to talk about the Cleveland Browns a little bit, Jalen Rose. I really do. I want to talk about
Cleveland! This is for you!
22 yards for Odell Beckham Jr. 22 yards. And I was watching that game because I really felt like perhaps the coaching change and bringing out Baker Mayfield, that they might turn a corner this year and sort of realize some of the potential and the expectations that they had last year. But they looked bad. Now, they were playing the Ravens, but they did look bad. Do you think that this Browns team will end up better than they were last year?
Whatever happened with them didn't register last year because I don't recall them being in the playoffs, and I don't see that happening again this year. And I'm going to be consistent on the point that I've said since he got drafted. Beyond the off-the-field troubles, when Baker Mayfield got picked to be the Browns quarterback, I can't front. It was like flipping a coin to me in my eyes and seeing Johnny Manziel. They had so many similarities to me. And This is kind of playing out the way I've constantly owned that the things that were coming out of his mouth versus the things that he was going to be able to produce on the field were vastly different. And I never thought I'd live in a world where he's getting more commercials than Odell Beckham Jr. I never thought that to take place. And so that's a disconnect, whereas Odell played 17 games with them, only twice caught over 100 yards. Like, this is not going to be a playoff team. And I saw Njoku lead the game with an injury. They're tight end.
How many times when Odell was with the Giants, did you see him just catch like a 7-yard slant and run it for a 60-yard touchdown? It seemed like all he had to do was just put the ball in his hands and he would just end up getting you 20 yards. And then he catches 2 balls and gets 22 yards. I thought that was fascinating. One game that happened that went a little bit under the radar and didn't even make the television show rundown is a team that I've adopted as one of my Die Easy fandom teams, the Buffalo Bills. Now, people forget, the Buffalo Bills, they didn't beat the Texans in the playoffs, but they should have. They should have won that game last year. Josh Allen looks good. Sammy Watkins looks good. I like this Buffalo team, and I'm saying they're the best team in the AFC East. Your thoughts?
Brown is a great weapon. Rookie running back is going to show potential. The one thing about Allen is he got to stop fumbling the football. That's the mm-hmm. one thing, Jacoby. When I watch him play, he be fumbling that football. Ball security is going to continue to improve. But as a dual threat guy that's going to make decisions, spray the football around, plus able to scramble, I agree with you. Like, they're a sneaky team on the come up. They have a legitimate chance to win the division this year.
And I got Watkins and Diggs confused, but obviously I was talking about Stephon Diggs from the Vikings, who made an immediate impact in a Buffalo Bills uniform. I really like this Bills team. I'm excited about them. Big shout to the two Buffalo Bills guys on my basketball team, Patty and Tim. They're the ones who got me into the
Big shout to my favorite thing about Buffalo, Griselda.
Conway got a new album out, I think. Love Griselda. Love Griselda. They should come out with a Bills song. Jalen, before we get back into the sports, I just want to talk about something that
shout
I found
West Side
so
Gun and Benny
centering. Something so centering and calming, and just made me so happy last night at such a hectic time in our lives for our entire species around the globe. Gladys Joey Knight and Patti LaBelle versus battle. Oh. Gladys Knight and Patti LaBelle versus battle. It was just fantastic. They didn't stand up. They sat down. There's so much love between them. That wasn't even a battle. That was just a celebration of each other and of life. They would do little chit chat in between the songs. It just made me feel so calm and happy. I loved it so much. It was just like a lava lamp version of a versus battle. It was fantastic.
Since you know the show is only 22 minutes of content, I wanted to get this joke off on the show, but I couldn't. And so what you just mentioned, those queens are royalty. They truly are. From first off, the mansions, love seeing that, and the food, and just the embodiment and respect that they not only have one another, but deserve and garner for the public. And as I was checking it out, I realized that somebody named Cam Newton was a lot better dressed for the occasion than I was, because that's where he looked like he was headed at his press conference. He looked like he was headed over to the crib and be a part of the versus battle. Because one of them could have rocked that outfit easily.
Oh, I'm sure. I think that was, you know how famous women do it for big events. They've got like three or four options they decide the day of. So that was one of the ones that they just discarded. They refit it for Cam, exactly, the double-breasted, exactly, canary yellow suit.
Cam, you can
they
wear
just
it.
Refit it for, yes, Cam, and sent it out to him so he could represent Gladys and Patty in the versus battle. Another thing that didn't have time to get into the TV show I want to discuss is the triumph of Naomi Osaka in the U.S. Open final against Victoria Azarenka. Those of you that don't follow women's tennis closely, Azarenka has had like a high highs and low lows over her career as a tennis professional. And Naomi Osaka kind of got dominated in the first set. And I wanted Naomi Osaka to win. I love what she's been doing with the mask and bring attention to social injustice. And when she turned it around and won that tournament, her second U.S. Open, her third major, I overreact. I'm a member of the sports media. It does feel like she is set up in position to be the next great American female tennis champion. Is there anything you've seen from her that makes you feel any otherwise?
Well, the one thing about our society, what validates what you just said is what you do on the platform. And so, therefore, your athletic prowess is why we're paying attention. And now, all of a sudden, if you make it to the U.S. Open final, you get to wear seven different masks. Then, when you win it two times in the last 3 years, they're going to put the microphone in front of you. That's when you get a chance to let your voice be heard. And I appreciate her productivity and greatness as a player, but also her humility and her ability to now use her stage for something a lot bigger than herself. And I applaud and appreciate that, and I'm definitely a fan.
I think one thing that we don't give athletes enough credit for is we put them in very difficult positions to speak about extremely important topics right after they performed on the field or the court. Like, we get LeBron James will have a chase down block and a three-point shot, and then 15 seconds later, they're like, LeBron, how are you going to solve racism? You know what I mean? And I feel that Naomi Osaka, at her age, after the physical toll and the emotional toll of winning a championship like that, and then to have the poise that she had to put together the words that she did in that moment, is just really impressive from someone who I believe is only 22 years old. Big shout to her. Big shout to her. And Jalen, one thing we need to discuss is fantasy football. Week one of fantasy. Everyone's so excited about their team. Everyone's glass half full right now. And then your team goes and takes the field. And I don't know about you, but I put up numbers this week. When you have Davante Adams on your team, he put up a lot of numbers. How was your big money? No longer $10,000 buy-in. Did the buy-in's $5,000 now? I know they adjusted it. It went down, right?
$15,000.
I'll say it again. I would not even know how to pay somebody $15,000. I wouldn't even know how. I don't even know what you do. Your routing number involved? So, cashier check?
So going into tonight, and I know while Jacoby is paying attention to the J&J Fantasy League now, after 3 or 4 weeks, he won't be paying attention.
No.
So I'm going to be consistent for you guys all year round, giving you fantasy heartbreaks and updates that people can relate to. So I'm up 20 points going into tonight. However, I go against Henry and I go against Ingram of the Giants. Mm. Two offensive players, they should get 20. I also have my Denver defense. So hopefully Denver defense can get me a fumble return or interception, a pick six or something. But I Definitely. Should lose. I'm projected to lose, but we'll see what That's happens. No. Now, let me Definitely. Tell you how we got to the loss. You ready for the heartbreak hotel to this loss?
Sure.
Our brother from another, DeAndre Hopkins.
Love DeAndre Hopkins.
On his final catch, he was rumbling. He was rumbling. And they stopped him on the one. I needed those points. He was my second pick.
You can't point at DeAndre Hopkins and act like he's the reason you lost. Because I wouldn't put up 42 points for you, 43, and you're like, nah, I need a 50 from you, dog. Jacoby, I need a 50 from you.
That's not how fantasy works, Jacoby. That's not how fantasy works, Jacoby.
Yes,
no, it's not.
That's like someone scoring 45 points in an NBA game. You'd be like, we need more from you. We need some more from you.
Jacoby, anybody out there, please tell Jacoby this is not how this works. Just because somebody beats their projection, that don't mean that when they're very close to the end zone, you're not anticipating, and those aren't game-changing points. Let me tell you another player that I drafted, A.J. Green, the offensive pass interference. That also was another touchdown that I would have had. So I would have had two touchdowns on top of my score. And the yards.
You're losing that one. Going up against Henry.
If I lose, that's going to be the reason why. Now, again, like you said, I'm not in that position if Andrews doesn't catch two, if DeAndre doesn't catch 14. They put me in that position, but, man, it's a game of inches.
It is. The two games tonight, we have the Steelers against the Giants. What are you keying on in that one?
I'm keying on what I just said. I hope Ingram doesn't catch anything.
You keen on your $15,000? Thought I might get some football analysis.
That's so not
keen, I'm keen on my $15,000 investment.
Fee Saquon.
That's what I'm keen on.
Fee Saquon. Where you at, Golden Tate? You know what I'm saying? This is a good time for you to catch. Come on, Sterling Shepard. Let's do this. Danny Dimes, you're going to throw two interceptions and going to fumble twice. So, I mean,
we'll see.
Ingram we'll already see. Down to five catches or less right now. By my man,
I have a lot of Giants fans in my circle, and they're excited about this season. And I don't even know what to say sometimes. I'm like, listen, it ain't gonna happen. It is not gonna happen. However, you know, I know you saw what happened with the Washington football team and the Eagles and the Cowboys. It's a wide open division. The Giants aren't out of contention in this division quite yet. Check in on that on week six, week seven, and we'll see.
Here's something I want to ask from the industry. For What's 10 that? Years, we've called the NFL team that plays in D.C. the Washington football team. For 10 years on this program, we've constantly called them that. We need our flowers. We need our flowers. Because you know what the actual name of their squad is? The Washington football team. That's their actual name. We made sure we never used that term. We made sure. The world changed. We didn't. Give us our flowers. What are your thoughts, Jacoby?
I would never, ever in a million years start a season with my team name football team. Like, I just wouldn't do it. I understand that some lawyer went out and bought up a bunch of trademarks and all this. Now I'll find a way around it. You know what I mean? Like, if I got enough money to own an NFL franchise, I got enough money to hire a lawyer to find a team name that I can use and go on the field with. Because Washington football team is absolutely insane. Like, the football teams are on the move. The football teams have completed four of their last five passes. It's like, what are we even talking about? What is happening? It's like a joke. I don't even understand it. But Jalen, I'm going to tell you something right now that was the most surprising thing from this NFL week one weekend that absolutely blew my mind, that I never thought I would see, that gave me hope moving forward, not just for football, but for myself and my life. Do you want to know what that is? Never thought I would see it.
What's that?
Zero positive tests for COVID-19. Zero positive tests. Now, I'm not going to get too excited to say that number's going to stay at zero for the rest of the season, but I really thought, after watching what happened with baseball and just knowing the nature of the game, the sheer numbers of the people involved, no bubble environment, the travel that's involved, just the numbers. I really thought that this would be a season, and I'm not going to say it's not going to be, that they would be marred with positive tests and players being out and contact tracing and games getting canceled or moved, and sort of like MLB had to sort of reevaluate the way they were doing things. I really thought that this NFL season, before they even got to week one, would be like that. But I found it very encouraging that there were zero positive tests. Every game went, and if someone didn't play, it was because they were injured or unavailable. Was that Absolutely. Surprising to you as well?
Not after week one, it isn't surprising, because any professional activity has its peaks and valleys, its stresses and its anxieties and its enthusiasms. And so now, after a win or a loss, how you decompress becomes the new case study of whether COVID-19 is going to travel throughout the NFL or not, because they are not in a bubble. They are playing home and away games in stadiums. And clearly they're going to be interacting with people that aren't getting tested every day. So that's going to be the true test. It is encouraging, like you mentioned, to have that as a result after the first week, but it's a long way to go. A lot of hits, a lot of picking yourself up off the field, a lot of, you know, not getting it on fourth and three, that we got to see how people are still able to juggle their professional life and the ability to keep themselves safe versus science and juggling their job.
Absolutely. And we always say we give the people what they want, and part of that is hearing from the people. So right now, push pause on the podcast. Call 985-80-JALEN and leave us a voicemail. We need voicemails from the people. And I've got some inside intel from one of our producers, Andrea, Jalen. Do you know what she said about our voicemails?
What'd she say?
The people are using medicinal before they call up. And you know what? We support that. We support that. Go ahead. Yes. Whatever you got to do to get in the zone.
Blow it in the air while you're using the voicemail.
Yeah. Call 985-80-JALEN. Have a drink. Get medicined up. Whatever you got to do. Leave us a voicemail right now. We'll play it on the show just like this.
What up, though? Jalen and Jacoby. Got to run anonymous on this call. Got a really important question to ask. So my best friend's sister may or may not be into me. The vibe is definitely there. How exactly do I approach that? Because these are people that I've known for a very, very long time. And I'm not sure how to approach this right. Because it's you got to be very careful about those kind of situations, you know? And I kind of want to shoot my shot, but at the same time, I don't want to ruin the foundation of friendship that I have established with this woman for many years. So how exactly do I approach it? That's all I need to know. These late night thoughts hitting my head. Keep giving the people what they want. Yep, medicinal. What up, though?
Thank you for the call. Appreciate
you've come to the right
love.
Place. You've come to the
you've
right
come
place.
To the perfect place.
Before you go, Jalen, let me take you behind the curtain. When they're playing the video, when they play the audio of the voicemail, me and Jalen can see each other like a Zoom call style. And sometimes Jalen just starts pointing at himself. He just starts pointing himself like, I got this one. So take it away, Mr. Rose. Help this young man out.
So a few things. You use some very important words to me. And I'm going to tell you the two words that stood out in bold letters. Best friend, which means you should not say or do anything in that person's presence or when they're not around that they wouldn't like and or that you wouldn't do or say when they're not around. That is not how best friends behave. Get a best friend like me because I'm the person that's in the room, and even when you're not around, I'm going to make sure people don't talk about you in front of me. That's not what best friends do. So therefore, if you're really into her, you can't half step. The only way that works is if you want to marry her. That's the only way that works. It can't be like, oh, you were trying to get with her. It can't be, oh, y'all dated for 3 months. Oh, y'all dated for 6 months. Because guess who she talks to about her unhappy? Guess who she calls on the day she's unhappy? Her brother. Guess how many times he had to get upset at dudes that did and or said the wrong thing about his sister. Because the other dudes see what you see. They have the attraction that you have. So I would say you should not ruin your relationship with your best friend or that family. Think with the head on your shoulders, not the one below your waist.
I'm going to be even more definitive. This is not a go. This is just a hard no on this one, and I'll tell you why. You got work friends, high school friends, romantic relationships that seem like the closest people to you in the world, but all of those things fade over time. But your best friend is your best friend. Your best friend's going to be there for your entire life. And you know what? The chances are you're not going to marry his sister. Let's just go down that hypothetical highway. You marry his sister. What happens when you and your brother-in-law go to a strip club? What happens when you want to complain to your best friend about your wife? What happens when you're out to dinner with your best friend and you start flirting with the waitress a little bit? None of that is going to work. So I would say, even if you feel like you're going to marry her, don't even go down that road. Because there's also this aspect, too. You can't. I feel so strongly that you cannot do this. However, there's a caveat. There's nothing wrong with just flirting a little bit. You know what I mean? When you two are alone. Just maybe flirting a little bit. Never ever acting upon it. Just sort of acknowledging it. Maybe flirting a little bit.
Don't
you know,
do
just
it.
So something that's in the back
Please
of your mind for the rest of your
it.
Life, but never ever acting upon it. So I knew you would disagree with this one, but why not just flirt a little bit? You know, just
well,
a
you
little,
sound,
little phrase
no,
here
no,
and there.
I disagree with that. You sound like the guy that never could get chicks. So now you like, oh, one is into me. So I'm just going to flirt for no reason. No, that's your best friend. Don't be trying to flirt with his sister. Jacoby, that you just took away all of the equity of everything you just said. You just got finished saying it's a hard no, and that's going to be your best friend forever.
Yes.
That's exactly what you just said. And then at the end, you gave the worst advice by okay to still flirt with her. So what are you supposed to say? Nice feet? Nice legs?
No, let me also say this, though. Let me say this, though.
I love your hair. What do you want to say?
I'm concerned about this gentleman.
Like all the pictures?
I'm concerned about this gentleman's decision-making in the first place because he's like, oh, this is anonymous. I can't say my name. You think your best friend doesn't know what your voice sounds like? You know what I mean?
His like, best friend don't listen to the pod.
I hope your best friend don't listen to Jacoby because if you know that. Have a best friend that sounds just like that caller that smokes weed and talks about J&J a lot, and you've got a sister, like there's probably 2,000 dudes right now thinking that their best friend called Jalen and Jacoby. 2,000 dudes that think their best friend called Jalen and Jacoby asking about the sister.
Not a good idea. Do not do it.
Don't do it. Not going to be able to do it. We got time for one more final voicemail. Don't forget, right now, call 985-80-JALEN. Leave us a voicemail. We'll put it on the show just like this.
What's up, Jalen and Jacoby? This is Elijah calling in from Washington, D.C. Shout out to the DMV. Quick question for you guys. Is this cultural, regional, or universal? Saying Alex? Auntie or aunt. Calling your aunt or your aunt, vice versa. Is that cultural, regional, or universal? All right, thank you, guys.
Ooh, this is a great question. Great question.
I got this. I know the answer.
I think it's cultural and regional. That's what I'm going with. Your thoughts?
So it's a combination of the two. So the cultural part is the auntie.
Yes.
When you put that when you put that part on it, you know that's a universal thing that people that look like me just gonna do wherever. But there are people that look like Jacoby in different regions of the country that also say auntie. But overall, if I had to give one answer, I would say it's cultural.
I would say aunt and aunt is regional, but auntie is cultural. Auntie is cultural. But the most cultural thing about auntie is people that look like you, just anyone's an auntie. Anybody. Doesn't mean, like, if you look like me, there's blood relation there. Oh, you're my brother's sister. Or, I'm sorry, like my, yeah, you're my dad's sister. That's auntie Sarah or whatever. But in the people that look like Jalen, everyone's an auntie. As long as you, if you are in your mom's, if a woman is in your mom's phone, she's auntie. Simple as that. My kids have 45 aunties.
Well, here's the distinction. In white families, when cousins have kids, those kids call their older cousin still. In black families, those cousins' kids call the elder statesman in the family uncle or auntie.
I feel like I'm.
Does that make sense? Let me rewind the tape.
Yeah, so I understand.
My mother has two brothers, Paramore Hicks Jr. Rest in peace, love and miss you, and my uncle Lynn. Lynn has a daughter. Her name is Tracy. That's technically my cousin. But her kids will call me uncle. If they were white, they would call me cousin.
Interesting. See, I'm somewhat confused, but let me just say one thing. I feel like I'm a reasonably intelligent person, right? You know, college educated. I understand some difficult concepts. When it comes to who's a cousin, who's a great aunt, who's a second cousin, who's a third cousin, I can't understand that at all. Because I think you didn't even explain yourself appropriately because Len's daughter is your cousin, right? But if she's 15 years older than you, then you call her auntie, right? But her kids are not your cousins because she's your cousin.
Let me tell you why you don't understand. You want me to tell you why you don't understand?
Okay.
Let me go back to the answer to the question. Because it's cultural. That's what you got me for on this one. Let me clear out the dance floor, and I got you on this one. I'm trying to tell you. Listen to your brother. And I never said she was 15 years older than me.
That was a hypothetical.
We're around the same age. In black families, cousins are older cousins are called uncles and aunts. Older cousins.
A generation older or just like a decade older?
A generation older.
My cousin's kids. So that makes more sense to me then. Yeah, my cousin's kids do not call me Uncle David, but in a black family they would. That makes more sense to me.
Correct.
That makes more sense to me. I think that makes more sense. Yeah. My cousin's kids. If someone said to me, what is your relationship with your cousin's kids? I would say, I have absolutely no idea. Second cousins, once removed, twice. I don't even know how you get removed and unremoved. I don't understand anything about family titles and genealogy when it gets outside of first cousin.
My late Uncle Paramore's daughter name is Tilvon. Her kids call me Uncle Jay. If they were in a white family, they would call me cousin.
I think they'll just call you Jalen.
It's the elder statesman part because I am 20, 25 years older than them. You see what I'm saying?
That makes total sense. And that does not happen in white families. I mean, first of all, I have no idea. I don't know what my cousin's kids are technically. I have absolutely no idea. I really don't whatsoever.
There you go. You got a lesson in culture today.
Appreciate you. And every day here on Jalen and Jacoby, you'll get one tomorrow. Why is that, Jalen Rose?
We're not done.